Hi, Sam.
Hey, Anna.
So I'm here on the set of Mom in my dressing room.
I love it.
And you're bugging me during my lunch break.
I love doing that, too.
So, Sam, wait, you were telling me that we got feedback from the Zach Braff episode.
Yeah, so do you remember the second caller, Liz, whose boyfriend seems to have a wandering eye online? He's been following a bunch of Instagram models. He was J-ing O in his cubicle at work because he had no LPD.
All right, yeah.
We got some feedback. And you said it was a common thing,
right?
And
yeah,
people
yeah,
will be
of course. Yeah.
Into it. So Heather, a woman named Heather, wrote in. She wrote, "The second caller needs to dump her BF for sure. Normally, I wouldn't be so direct in saying something like that, but following Instagram models slash pretty girls in their area is a huge red flag. My ex had all these random pretty Facebook friends and swore they were a holdover from his depressed post-divorce phase. I let it go for a little while, but it never felt right. Turns out he was messaging all of them, like hundreds of girls, the entire time we were dating. Guys like that need serious help before they'll change. Run, girl."
I think we're in such a tricky place with social media. There's so much exposure. And the problem is that I feel like there's a normalcy. Like we talked about in previous podcasts with the pressure to be a cool girl, you know, like you're okay with this. And I just think it's so important to feel safe and secure and desired in a relationship.
It would make any woman feel great.
No,
right?
That's what.
So just don't do it. If you want to J-O, channel all that energy you're putting into these Instagram models and, you know, go to your wife or your partner and channel all that energy and put it into that.
I completely agree. That's what I want out of my life. I want somebody who is like, I want you and only you.
Right. And I would hope most people would want that.
I like to think that I'm in a place in my life that I would not put up with that at all. I don't know. I hate to do the gender division thing, but are men more visual? And does that let them off? But it is an area to explore. Let's like later on, you know what I'm saying?
We should talk to someone more qualified about this entire subject.
Yeah.
Like an actual sex expert, right?
I just want everyone to be happy.
And now the dazzling Shay Mitchell.
Thank you. Now I'm going to be like extra breathy because I'll feel suddenly like...
No, but it's very... let me rephrase that.
Do you fall asleep?
No, not at all. I'm like, oh my gosh, your voice is like really great. It's very sexy, but like sexy, classy,
and
like friendly and welcoming and just really lovely.
Thank you so much. That is such a nice compliment. There was a gal that I worked with, Sherry O'Terry, in the first Scary Movie, and she used to do this imitation of me, which I was thrilled that somebody, you know, that I would be significant enough that somebody would imitate me. But she would always go, "Oh, I'm Anna Faris. Oh, I don't even know what I like. Oh, do I want the chicken or the fish for lunch? I'm not sure. Am I on a movie set?"
I mean, I would never do your impression like that. I don't. That's very nice and breathy too. But to be honest, your voice
Thank
is.
You.
It's and that's the thing with podcasts, because you want to have a nice voice if you're talking and that's all you can hear. Right?
Have you heard about like the whole vocal fry?
No.
Thing.
No.
It's sort of, vocal fry is. It's apparent. It tends to, people are a little bit more critical of it with women, but I think men do it too. But it's sort of like whatever the opposite trend of Valley Girl speak, which would be uplifting at the end. It's more like that.
Okay, thank you. I don't like that. I really don't like that. And that's what I was referring to before. And hate is a very strong word and I take that back, but I really don't like that. And I don't know if that's because I'm more of an optimistic person. So I don't need a total upswing, but I also don't.
But you also want somebody to be somewhat curious about your
life. I can't. And that's why, for the most part, to be honest, I don't listen to a ton of podcasts when it's like that. I can't.
I have this thing where, I don't know, a lot of younger people
will,
like if you say, and I've worked with a couple of them, but if you say like, "Hey, how are you?" There's this trend of, "I'm good, how are you?" It's like, what is, and I feel like I keep hearing that over. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's weird. I have heard that. It's strange when you hear that back.
"Hey, Sim, how are you?"
"I'm good, how are you?"
Is that what you want me to say?
Kind of. You were getting there. You're getting there. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, no. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
And yeah.
Thank you for being here,
Thank
Shay.
Thank you for having me. This is cozy. You should do this more often. You guys offer me a glass of wine.
Yeah. You come to my dressing room. They don't know what goes on once we close that door. So you're producing stuff. That's incredible. It's amazing when actors, and I think it's essential now, you have to take control of your own career.
Definitely.
When I first moved here in 99, it was, you know, the world of auditioning. And so, you know, you're flying all over town, you're hustling. And it did feel like there wasn't a sense of control at all over your, you know, your destiny. You were out of work every few months. Who knows when you would get the next job?
Yeah.
And it's kind of an amazing time now in Hollywood, I think, where people can actually be very proactive in what their, you know, their fate or future is. The only thing, though, with so much content being made, I think, is that it definitely forces quality.
Definitely. And that's always going to rise to the top. You know what I mean? And I think the same thing with social media platforms. Yeah, everybody and their brother is on Instagram and all these different social platforms. But who are the people that are going to get noticed? The people with good content, sometimes shocking content, sometimes interesting comment, you know. So I think that now is a really, really great time to kind of be that multi-hyphenate, if you will. That's sort of what I like to call this generation,
yeah,
where we're not having to just wait by our phones and have to be like, did we get it? When's the next audition? Did I get the call back? You know, it's like now we can kind of be like, oh, I'm actually going to produce my own show. I'm going to put it out on YouTube. And if people like it, then great. Then that can get taken into a show. But now you can wear a lot more hats than I feel like we did before.
And play interesting characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially for women.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, okay, switching directions just a little bit. On your show, Pretty Little Liars, and please don't feel the need to, I don't mean to give you the wrong impression of me, because I don't want you to be backed into any kind of weird corner. But when I have done movies that have a lot of female characters, it's because that feels unusual and because there's a sense of competitiveness. How did you guys deal with like a character who maybe was like a nemesis? And did that ever translate like into
real life?
Yeah. And how do you feel, how do you make the feeling of inclusivity?
Yeah. Honestly, we were really lucky on that show. And to be honest, I think the media and everybody else outside of what was going on the show was kind of trying to pit us against another, you know, and be like, so who do you guys not like? So is there drama? And we're like, to be honest, no. And I say that because I think the casting wise and just who we are as creatives, we're so different. You know, I would get auditions and I would be like, Torian, you need to read for this. This is so up your alley. And then vice versa, they would get action roles and they're like, Shay, you need to do this movie because this is like that popcorn.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're so
that
different.
That felt rare. I mean,
you're right. And I've heard horror stories, you know, from other shows and you're like, ooh, and this was my first big job. So like, you know, being immersed in a lot of women on set and, you know, all this being our first big show and all and everything that came with it, I was really happy to have these girls on the show. That doesn't mean that we're all best friends. No, but it means that
I'm your best friend.
Because you are, Anna.
Yeah.
You know, I was just really lucky with that show that there wasn't competitiveness because I'm not going up for the same role as Lucy Hale. A, we look so completely different. You couldn't get, you know what I mean, more opposite girls than who we were. So it really kind of was a nice thing for us to kind of, to be able to work together, and yet we all wanted different things.
We had a thing a little bit on the house, not a thing, but in the house, Bunny, we had a lot of actors that it was their first job, and because we were playing like the nerdy sorority, and then there was like the hot girl sorority or whatever, I felt the need because I used to be a camp counselor. I was a really bad one, but the need to like make sure that everyone was really bonded and do like link.
And they weren't going getting cliquey.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it really worked. But no, at the time I sort of attributed it to like, okay, this is what happens when a lot of women don't get to work together very frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And because with the boys, especially the boys in comedy, they were always come do my movie. I'll go do your movie. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, it didn't feel like the same sense of being, like you were saying,
like competitiveness.
Earlier. Yeah. And so I like to think that as we sort of move into the future, that yeah. the more roles for women, the more we get to act together, the more
and be more supportive yeah. of each other. Yeah, absolutely.
My story really wasn't going anywhere.
No, I definitely got it. You're a great camp counselor.
Thank you. I was really good with the good kids, and then I was really terrible with yeah. the bad kids. Yeah. I couldn't handle it. I was too immature. I still am. But you don't have to tell us anything. You can totally say pass. But are you in a relationship? You can totally say pass.
I'm in a lot of different relationships.
See that? Crafty.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So in this deal breakers, so mm-hmm. you have to imagine that you're single.
Okay.
After the first date, he shaves your name into his pubes.
I mean, how does it look? Did he do a good job, or like, is it just a mess?
It just says SM.
Just SM.
Yeah, it's a pretty good.
He did a good job.
Yeah.
He got like tweezers and very detailed with it.
Is that better or worse than if you didn't do a good job?
If you're going to do anything in life, you better do a really good job. So, you know, is that a deal breaker? Was he funny? Did I like him the first day? You know, there's all these different questions.
I know.
Was it a conversation that we brought up and then he like went through with it?
No,
was it dare?
He was pretty funny. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, okay. He was like a 7.
All right.
And,
above average.
And attractive. Like you guys had a nice time.
Yeah.
So much so that, you know,
he went home and
you wanted to see him again.
Yeah. All right.
And he's crushing on you pretty hard, obviously.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the next time he sees you,
like he pulls his pants down. Cause then that might be the deal.
Yeah. He
right
picks
now.
You up, okay. At your place. And he's like, can I show you something really quickly? Please don't think this is too weird, but
right.
you just inspire me.
You know, I think if it was something that was like a dare from our previous date,
no,
it was not. That's a deal breaker. Yeah. Cause you know, it's like, who do you think I am? They're going to show me your junk like second date. That's a little rude. It's a little aggressive.
Okay. It's a
do
deal
you know
breaker.
What I mean? It's a deal breaker. Yeah. Do you like how I had to go about that?
Yes.
It wasn't
Listen.
Just that easy.
Oh my God. No, okay. No, I totally yeah. appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. He has a portrait of his ex tattooed on his back.
Absolutely. Ooh. Are you kidding? That is so beyond a deal breaker. No. Goodbye. No.
Really?
Goodbye. Like a little star that you got with your ex-girlfriend on your like wrist or something. Like,
what if he's trying to get it removed?
Who puts a portrait? No. No. Sorry. For me, deal breaker.
Wait, but Anna, what was his rationale?
He says it doesn't bother him because he can't see it.
No, that's even worse.
But he was a romantic.
Yeah, well, you know, there's many other things you could do to really show that side of you.
Okay, what if it was a tattoo of like his mom?
Okay, now that's different. You know, that's somebody. All right.
What if it was a tattoo of Anna Faris?
Then I would be like, that game on, buddy. Game on. I love her too. That's completely different. Yeah. So you were her mom. You were his mom, not a deal breaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He's an artist, mm-hmm. but he moonlights as a Sushi in the Raw model.
These are tough. Yeah, but I'm not going to judge. You know, it's like people have different careers. And that's a version of modeling, you know. There's people that get naked and you know, artists take their photos and draw and paint. So
he does really well as an artist.
Okay.
And like he makes,
this is like,
he kind of
like
makes
he
bank.
Needs to do this to make money? Or
it's
no, this
sort
is
of
like
a passion.
Fun.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a hobby.
Right. And he's making the sushi as well, or he's just being...
Nope, just wants it on him. Oh, he's yeah. a vegan.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that if it's not for a money tight situation, I think that might be a deal breaker. Or he'd have to have a really good personality.
He's got a great personality.
How often is this? It's like a once a week thing, once a month. You know, that also kind of depends.
I think it's probably maybe 2.5 times a month.
Two and a half times a month. No, yeah. Honey. Nope, cannot. He'd probably be really tired of sushi by the end of that, and therefore we wouldn't be able to go out for Japanese food, you know? So.
But he'll bring you home the
leftovers
sushi.
That have been sitting with a couple pieces of hair on them. No, cannot.
No, no, no. But he has S and M. He's shaved. He's now shaved all.
He puts them on the bald spots of where those letters are.
Yeah, no. That's a deal breaker.
He friend kisses everyone on the mouth instead of a handshake.
Goodbye. That's not like
very decisive, Shay. Yeah,
no.
Why?
I think I had a dream about that just a couple nights ago where like one of my relationships was like saying hi to a friend and she reached in and like passionately like, but just like not tongue or anything, just kissed on the lips. And I was like, are you kidding me? And lost it. So like when you just said that, it's like right away, no. No kisses
this
on the lips.
Poor friend, you had a bad dream about her. That's like when you wake up
and you're angry.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel about like Hollywood hugging? I love to hug people and I touch people and
you gave a good hug. It was like solid. Like
thanks.
It was like a real deal, like heart to heart.
You should see when Sim and I see each other, we do this really awkward hug. Yeah,
bro thing. Hug.
Oh, it's a bro hug. Yeah. Like a couple pats.
Yeah. And it's like we both kind of don't want to do it, but we feel obligated.
Yeah, because like I know it's really weird whenever we hug.
Because you see each other a lot. It's like
I don't know. We have a very strange relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We have to unpack it sometime.
I know. There's some. I mean, we totally adore each other, but I think there's also some like underlying anger.
Oh, got it.
Like, this undercurrent of passive aggressiveness.
But what's the Hollywood hug, though? I don't know if I've ever heard of that.
Well, just when I moved here from Seattle, I was always so surprised when everyone was hugging each other. Like my new managers, my new agent, like every interaction that I had, like with, you know, like on a general meeting, like we're hugging. And I didn't know how to. I was just unfamiliar with that kind of personal interaction because in Seattle, you know, we were all angry up there. We're listening to Nirvana and we're pissed. So for me, it took a while to get used to sort of a hugging culture.
Huh. I don't know if I've really noticed that. I don't know if maybe I don't give off that vibe, but I do more like the handshakes, like with agents and stuff like that. I'm like, hello, how are you? Good.
What about like the second time you meet someone? Do you go for the hug if it's friendly?
Yeah. Like, would you have hugged me if I didn't
initiate? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, of course.
Thanks. But would you have initiated?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So, no, I think I'm like a huggy person. I just didn't notice that it was specific to Hollywood, I guess. So that's why I was like, wait, Hollywood hug? I'm just like a huggy person if I want to be. But yeah, I didn't really notice it to be like pertaining to Hollywood.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just that's the first place.
People just want to hug you. That's the thing.
Oh, go on.
They just want to hug you. Give off that hug vibe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do go for the hug before anyone else.
I got to be proactive.
So maybe you're starting the trend of this whole offense.
She's the one that starts it, of course. I see that.
That's coming from you.
Strong offense.
Yeah. I mean, I always wait to see what they're going to do because I never want that awkwardness where you go in for the handshake, but they go in for the hug.
Right.
I hate that.
Right.
Oh, what about the European kissing, though? That always confuses me.
Oh, the double.
God.
Yeah.
Where do we go? And that's when you end up like kissing somebody on the mouth.
Yeah, that is very true.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Then it's just...
You just had a flashback.
Okay, so he has a penis tattoo of Pinocchio.
Mm, goodbye. Yeah, no.
You sure?
Yeah.
He got it when he was young.
I know, but yeah, no.
It was super painful for him.
I can't even imagine that. I think maybe it's just the Pinocchio that bothers. Actually, that's kind of creative, right?
Well,
I get it. Now I got it. As I said that, I appreciate that because I was going to be like, he should get like an elephant or like an anaconda, but that actually makes sense. All right. I'm not mad at that. If he was like, it was silly, it was like when I was younger, I could get behind it.
But then he says, I'm a pretty little liar too.
That was good. I don't know. I'd laugh. So he got points for that.
Really, though?
That's
Do
amazing.
You want to spend your life with this person? You know,
now you're like double guessing. You're like I just think it's kind of funny. Look, I love people that make me laugh. And so I think that that plays a huge part of it, you know? And I don't want to take stuff too so seriously. So if he said that combined with a PLL, it might give him like another date, you know? I'm not marrying the guy. So.
Okay, he loves Thailand. Mm-hmm. You're on a first date. Mm-hmm. He tells you that he loves Thailand. Asks if you maybe would be willing to donate to his GoFundMe page.
And I would say, what is the GoFundMe part for?
So I can go to Thailand.
Oh, so you can personally go back to Thailand. I'd say, sorry, sir, you got to do that on your own. No.
Babe, I'm not going on my own. I'm going with you.
Yo, so you want me to go fund you, basically. So like, what's the point of having to go fund me? Just like, just be like, will you fund me? You know what I mean? That's what it should really be.
Yeah, but I've already raised, I've already raised over $200, and it's like a fucking dream. I want to go, like,
are we going to save elephants? Is there any sort of like component of giving back, you know? Because I'd love that. That, when you started to go down the GoFundMe page and...
Babe, we're going to do fucking shrooms.
Yeah, no. Goodbye. I would say goodbye. Yeah.
You don't want to do...
Nope, shrooms. Definitely do not.
Dude.
Sorry, dude.
I thought you were fucking cool.
Sorry, dude. Go fund yourself. Go fund yourself. That's what
That's a good one, Shay.
Yep, I know.
Hey, dear listeners, I've been so rude. I have not introduced Shay Mitchell, who's our incredible guest. And you are a multi-hyphenate. You're fucking gorgeous, and you're smart, and you're funny.
Thank you.
Any man with a penis tattoo would be lucky to have you.
Oh my god.
Okay, so this is now a how would you proceed?
Okay.
Okay, you find out that Beyonce wants to meet you about playing her sister in an upcoming film. Mm-hmm. She asked you to join her at the spa for some bonding time. That's where she does all her meetings. Maybe she doesn't want you to know where she lives as well.
Okay.
Okay.
I get it. Yeah. All right, fine. It's Beyonce. Okay.
Okay, when you arrive, she tells you that she has signed you guys up for an EGF facial. It's a facial with a serum that is made from the foreskin of newborns.
Yeah, okay.
How would you proceed?
I do it. If Beyonce's doing it, I'm doing it. I mean, is that even a question? And it's like, if she told me to eat like pig turd, I'd be like, awesome, how much? You know, if it like gets me anywhere to what her aura is and who she is and that's what she does, I'm all for it. So that's, yeah, cool.
All right.
EFG or EGA, okay. Whatever.
We've got some serum right here for Shay.
Would you do it, Donna? Would you try that? If it's supposed to be really good for the skin, it's a real thing.
Well, listen, I would justify it in my head. Like, well, that's nice that the foreskin is not being wasted.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But how do you also just say no to Beyonce is my question. She's like, but you're going to do it, right? And you're like,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you
totally
are.
Yeah. So, yep, totally.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no saying no to Beyonce. It's like, that's the craziest thing in the world.
But would there be some, like, let's say it was, I don't know. Would you do it for Britney?
I really love Britney.
I love Britney too. One time I got mistaken for her and it was like a highlight of my life. Except the dude was really bummed when I was like, no, I'm the girl from Scary Movie. And he's like, oh man.
Would I do it for Britney? I'd have to like, I'd tell Britney I'd want to get back on that. Maybe do a little bit more research, you know?
All right, well, should we do some calls?
Yeah, let's get to the calls. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, this is so exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really excited about this.
Our listeners are amazing.
I know. Hello. I listen to your podcast. I know about your callers.
Michael told me that you listen to the podcast, and I was so flattered. We do have a lot of guests that don't, and I don't blame them, but it is.
Can I say one of my favorite ones?
Yeah.
Dax Shepard.
Oh, yeah, he's great, right? Mm-hmm.
But I loved his answer to the caller. She was like a mom dealing with kids and all that.
It's really nice how, and it always takes me by, I don't know why it always takes me by surprise, but when our guests are involved, like, and compassionate.
Yeah.
And I'm just a unqualified fucking ding dong.
All right, we ready? We're going to call Lindsay first, and she is in Milwaukee.
Sim, I like that hat.
Thank you.
I don't see you wearing a hat very frequently.
I need a haircut, which is why I'm wearing
That's what I was going to ask you if you were feeling self-conscious. About your
haircut. Totally am. So we're calling Lindsay. She's in Milwaukee, and she's 27.
Hello?
Lindsay.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Anna.
Hey, thanks so much for doing this with us. We're like, we don't know what the fuck we're talking about, but thank you so much. And I'm here with Shay Mitchell, who's incredible.
Hi, Shay. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So, Lindsay, your email, the subject says, my number got me dumped. Give us a little background. What's going on?
So, this all started this past July, this summer. And Anna, I had just started listening to your podcast and I obviously fell in love immediately. And what I wanted to do was catch up on your films because I grew up watching Scary Movie and,
you know, how funny.
I love you too. And one night I decided to watch What's Your Number? And I watched it with my boyfriend at the time. And, you know, at the beginning of the movie, when it says the 10.5 number is the average for women, like probably about 2 minutes after that, I don't know if I made like a face or a gesture or something, but he asked, he's like, well, what's your number? And I just kind of casually like laughing was like, oh, more than 10.5. And he was silent. And he's like, well, mine's 7. But he never asked again what my number was. And we just kind of moved on until the next day I started getting these texts from him of like, hey, I really do want to know what your number is. I'm just interested to hear. And after being persistent, I told him, and at the time my number was 42. So I know that's high to some people, but I never really thought about it. I had never had anyone ask me before. And the response I got back from him was cool. Just one word, cool, all lowercase. So I knew he was not happy. But he never brought it up. So everything seemed fine. And then in the bedroom, it started getting a little weird. So what I noticed was everything he did was like a competition with guys I had previously been with. And it wasn't too bad at first, but then it started getting really weird and strange. He'd say things like, has anyone ever fucked you this good before? have I eaten you out the longest? Is it the best? And then the one that kind of broke the straw that broke the camel's back was one time while we were having sex, he said, I think it's great that you're still so tight. That was kind of when I realized like this relationship's dead. It was a really weird, like I'm all about dirty talk, but I could tell it's coming from a place of like insecurity and just being mean spirited. So by October, I had decided to end things with him. And I told him the truth of, hey, I can tell that you never got over this. I think it's obvious we can't be together. And he agreed. He never wanted to bring it up. I tried talking to him about it outside of the bedroom. He just never wanted to talk about it.
I love it that you were honest with him.
I mean, I think it's really important to be honest. I can't say that I have a lot of experience with relationships. Like, yeah, I'm pretty experienced sex-wise, but relationship-wise, I'd actually say I'm probably behind the curve. Until recently when I've kind of realized that it's something I want a little bit more of. But now I've been dating this guy for about 2 going on 3 months, and he's fantastic and he's amazing. And he's a lot of things of what I believe I want in a partner. But my fear now, and it's almost become an obsession, is what if he asks that question and what if he has a similar reaction? Should I continue to be honest, even though it kind of screwed me the last time? Or should I maybe hold it a little closer to the chest and maybe just a white lie to kind of glaze it over? I'm really confused. And at this point, I've never been obsessive about this number before. And now I'm feeling almost self-conscious about it. So I really hope I can get some help with this because I'm so confused.
That's traumatizing. I'm really sorry because it sounds like you're like a healthy, amazing person. And it's an inappropriate question. And some men, don't mean to generalize Sim, but they get, there's a lot of societal pressure to be amazing lovers and to, the immaturity, the the perspective of like, no one's entered this female body except for me, and I am the most amazing lover that she will ever have, and like whatever they spin out in their childlike ways. But if you do, and I'm sure Shay, you probably mm-hmm. have some thoughts on this.
Oh, it's so ego-driven with that. They're always like, but I'm the best. But I don't think I've ever asked that question. I don't really care about that. And I think at the end of the day, look, if I love you, we're doing good, or even if I like you, our sex is great, everything's fine and dandy, like then every single experience you had in the past made you who you are today. So I don't want to take back one of those girls, because what if she taught you that? Or what if she showed you this? You know what I mean? It's like they all add to your experiences. Yeah.
Lindsay, I think that if you do get asked this question, which hopefully you don't,
yeah,
I would take his hand and say, listen, my last relationship, when we started to go down this road of revisiting our past, the question wasn't that comfortable for me. And I called this weird actress. And she told me to tell you this. I would just say, can we just leave? Would it be okay if we just sort of left the past in the past for mm-hmm. now? I don't think you need to lie. I hope that he doesn't ask the question.
Yeah.
But I also hope that... And because I don't want you to feel ashamed, and I also have such personal experience with this too, that I used to, in my immaturity, offer up the information because I haven't been with that many people, because I tried to make a bad thing work for, you know, like my whole life. I was shocked if a good looking guy liked me, so then I would be like, I'd do anything for you, and I found myself like having to examine that. Like, if I consider myself a feminist, why the fuck am I buying into this nonsense that that I can't be also very much a sexual being?
Yeah.
And if you really like this guy, I would clock that, and I would just gently, you know, tell him, like, this isn't a road that I really want to go down. But, well, let me ask you this. What do you miss anything about your ex?
No. Because I feel like, honestly, I feel like I was so disgusted by the end of it that all of the good things are just completely clouded by the bad things.
And what's fucked up, too, is I would be willing to bet that he was also really weirdly, you know, not weirdly. People get turned on. I get turned on by all kinds of weird shit. But he probably had this, like, very complicated feeling of mm-hmm. of being turned on by...
Torturing himself with that information.
Yes, yeah. Thank you, Shay. That's a great way to put it. And I don't know, it sounds like that personality trait isn't a great fit for you. And
he's just not the right guy for her. Yeah. And hopefully this new guy completely respects, if you decide to tell him or you decide not to tell him, whatever you decide, he needs to respect that understand the past is the past.
What would be like, let's say, so Lindsay, you guys you said you're about two, 3 months into the relationship?
We're about to go into 3 months, yeah. Towards next week, actually.
To me it would be, you know, it's a troubling question at any part of the relationship, but definitely more troubling early on than later.
When the appropriate time to even, like...
I don't even think there is.
Like, so how many people have you been with? Like, it doesn't fucking matter.
No, it doesn't.
I'm just saying that
if he asks, like, next week, that indicates one thing as opposed to him asking in, like, 3 years. Like, not necessarily how many people you've been with, but how many relationships have you been with? Or how...
But that comes up. Relationships come up.
Right. Relationships, right.
Yeah, and that's a fine question. But the other stuff that you were talking about before with that, what he was asking, was just absurd. So
right.
And maybe you could also just be like, if he's like, so Lindsay, how many people have you slept with? You can just be like, enough to make me a fucking good lover.
Yeah, there you go. Yes.
No, don't say that.
I actually liked that answer.
Thank you. Hopefully he would laugh.
Do you want to give her any final advice at all?
Lindsay, thanks for sharing this, because I think we're so conditioned as women to feel very ashamed, may seem a little too harsh of a word, but to be very aware mm-hmm. of our value as you know, our sexual beings. And So I love it. It never occurred to you before. And I love it that you're sharing this with us. And I hate it that he traumatized you a bit with it and planted this seed. That fucking sucks. I'm sorry.
Oh, I appreciate that. I just want to, this did actually make me feel better because I don't talk about, obviously, it's not something that I would just go around and talk to people about. I don't really even talk to my friends about it a lot because to me, private is private, but this did make me feel better. Like I'm not some type of alien being that, is on the wrong planet.
Lindsay, do you know, like when we were putting together What's Your Number, the script was a little bit older and I kept arguing, like I kept trying to make my case. Her number should be, 326. Like it should be something that's like, so you've had, whatever. Like in the studio wanted it to be 16. And it was so frustrating because it felt like 20. What the fuck? This is not a modern tale. This is not the story of, but it was a battle I lost. But I remember that was such a thing with me because it just didn't make sense that, a person who's enjoyed life.
Right. To be like, this is right or this is wrong. There's
right,
no number
right,
on it.
Right. Yeah. And sort of, yeah. But that's what happens when old white men run Hollywood.
That seems about right. Yeah.
But hey, thank you for sharing. Yeah. And I hope the best with this new relationship. Please keep us posted. And I know that your story is we're going to get probably a lot of feedback from this.
I think so.
You are not alone in the idea of succumbing to the world of sexual shame. And let's not do it. Let's be fucking proud.
Yeah.
Spread our legs whenever the fuck
whenever
we want
you
to.
Want.
Thank you so much, Lindsay.
Thank you, Lindsay.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. I love you. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.
But don't you think that is such a common thing?
It is a common thing, but I don't know. It's just crazy.
Why the fuck do we buy into it?
We shouldn't. And we won't.
But we have these complicated worlds of men needing like ego gratification from their sexual prowess. And that, somehow it's like, I don't know.
Well, you know how they can get it? When their partners tell them that they're doing a great job. That's the ego gratification. They don't need to compare themselves to other dudes.
We should start asking like, well, how many times have you jerked off?
What?
I don't know. I'm just throwing, tossing around ideas here.
Yeah, it's okay.
Sim, you be the first to answer.
Can you imagine if I had that number like offhand? All right, so let's
get the
order. All right, we're gonna call Krista now. And Krista, she's in Pennsylvania, and she is 24.
Hello,
Krista.
Hi,
it's Sim Sarna and Anna Faris and Shay Mitchell.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Sim was a little surprised because usually he's the first person talking and I took
over. You kind of caught me off guard
bit. You don't do great with that.
No. I have to rehearse these things.
Hey, Krista, thanks for doing this.
Absolutely.
Krista, what's going on with your friends?
So I've got these two friends, John and Rachel. They're not part of the same friend group or anything, but I've become really close with them. For the past probably year or so, Rachel has been kind of seeing this guy named Cam, and they are not technically dating. They've never established that they're dating, but if you ask them, they say they might as well be. So this year, John and Rachel got to know each other. And in the past couple of weeks, they've started to become really close. And I know that John has started to develop feelings for Rachel. But in the back of my head, I also know that not only has Rachel basically been seeing Cam, but we actually went on spring break together a couple weeks ago. And like Rachel and Cam were there. And I know how close they are. And I know that they still have like a really close relationship. Rachel will tell John that her and Cam are good friends and all this kind of stuff. So basically I kind of know both sides of the story and I'm kind of nervous about how do I act in this position. So basically my question is, I don't know what to do to not only remain a good friend, but also to kind of warn John just to be careful and to be cautious and to also try and be a supportive friend towards Rachel.
Well, yeah, this is a tricky one. The messenger is always a tricky place to be. Do you have feelings for Cam or John?
No, not at all.
Would you feel comfortable maybe asking Rachel, like, hey, if John happens to ask, you know, sort of what your feelings are, do you, I don't know if there's a way to sort of go through her a little bit and just put the feelers out there, or maybe say, like, is there something that I should say if he happens to ask? Well, otherwise, I'm not trying to like get into anybody's territory or business here, but I just want to make sure that I'm not completely caught off guard if John happens to ask me something. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think that too. I would go straight to Rachel, you know, because you're friends with her, right? So I think that's a fair question.
Did you have fun on spring break, by the way? Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like, spring break. God, I remember those days.
I think that if she went to Rachel, wouldn't you be honest and say, hey, look, this put me in a really awkward position. I'm friends with both John and Cam, and I don't know what to do if John comes to me. Like,
I think so. But I think that if John hasn't actually asked Krista anything yet about it.
Correct. They're not dating. Yeah. They started to become really close.
Then I wouldn't want to create, like, be so dramatic with it to create sort of, you know. So I think that that's why maybe an approach of like, hey, on the off chance that this might happen, I just want to make sure that I'm, you know, respecting everybody's relationships here, and I love all of us hanging out, and I love our friendships, and I don't want anything to, to disrupt that. But I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I don't really like this Rachel person at all.
Why not, Sim? That's interesting. Why? I mean,
I just, you know, she's playing two dudes right now.
But is she in a fully serious, you know, relationship?
Seemingly, right? With Cam? They've been dating for a while, or sort of dating, or hanging out, or Cam thinks that they're dating.
I mean, it's been established that they're not actually dating, but everybody thinks they are.
And
Think they are? Is Cam into Rachel?
Cam probably thinks it, knows that they're not like official or anything, but they definitely act it.
Is Cam in love with her? Do you think Cam likes her a lot or is close to that?
It's very possible.
Okay.
But I mean, just because a guy's in love, if they're not official and she's really technically not doing anything wrong, she's dating, you know? So I think that I love what you said. Just be like, hey, what's the situation if by chance, I love the by chance part, John asks, what should I say? And then she'll be like, oh, don't say anything. I'm so not into Cam. It's not going to ever go anywhere. Then you know. Or if she's like, no, I know. Just tell him that I'm like kind of in a relationship because you know what? I actually really do love John or Cam. Sorry, I'm getting them confused. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you have to test it out with her. Go to the source.
Yeah.
And that source is Rachel.
But it is a tricky position to be a messenger in any sort of...
But I feel like that's a different kind of messenger than like, hey, I found out something.
Right.
This happened.
Right,
this is like this preliminary messenger. Right.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's why I feel like this is a lot lighter weighted than, you know, going in there with heavy stuff. You're just like, hey, if he hasn't, but if he did ask, what would you want me to say?
When you ask Rachel that, what do you think Rachel's going to tell you?
Well, to be honest, I think that she is a little like, I think she's got feelings for both of them. I think that's like a serious possibility. So I'm worried about one of my really close friends getting hurt. And like, that's the answer I feel like I'm going to get is that, oh, well, like, you know, I kind of have feelings for both of them. and I don't know what to do. So I feel like I'm going to get a very like wishy-washy answer.
Yeah, you probably will. You probably will. I think though, in order to like sort of maintain friendships, and if you like everybody, I mean, maybe you're not crazy about Rachel. I don't know. But sort of, I think all of this will unravel like over in like
ugly.
The next like 6 months.
Yes.
Give it 6 months.
And so I think that if you prioritizing your friendships with the people that you really see in your future, and sort of protecting them, but do recognize, you know, as we've all have kind of learned the hard way, that being a messenger does put it has to be done very carefully. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't be done, but it just has to be handled, you know, with kid gloves, as my mom used to say, and I didn't understand what that meant. Still not sure I do. I think it's a baby goat skin gloves, which must be very soft.
Did we give her advice? I don't know. Did we help her?
Like yeah. You said, I think go to Rachel and say, look, if this is what John comes up to me and says, how do you want me to approach it? You know, he's a good friend of mine, so I just want to like make sure you're being fair. I know you're just, you know, testing the waters right now with both of them, but like, know that I'm also friends with him. I don't think that's bad.
You should brush your hair over and over and say, oh my God, Rachel, all the boys love you so much. How do you do it? No, but I think group friendships will always shift. There's always, and hopefully, you know, as like stuff unfolds, you guys can still maintain stuff and go to Cabo next year for spring break, and I'll meet you there.
Cam's going to find out that Rachel is banging John. Then Cam is going to go to Krista and ask her, did you know about this? And what is she going to say?
I think that at this point, I think it's something like, I did hear some stuff. I wasn't sure how serious you guys were. I hope you understand the position that I'm in.
Okay.
I didn't want to betray anybody.
That will happen.
And
promise you that's going to happen.
Yeah. I get the feeling that John likes Rachel more than Cam likes Rachel.
I don't know. I think it's the opposite. I think it's
really?
I think Cam is in love. I don't know Cam at all. I'm just going off.
This Rachel, she sure has a lot of.
Wow.
She's got a lot of power. I like it. But no, I think there's definitely going to be hurt feelings down the road. And I'm not sure if there's much you can do to prevent it, truly.
Just watch the debacle unfold.
Front row seats, like.
All start
the
blending the margaritas. No, I know it's you're in a sticky position, but I would definitely, here's what you should not do, I think, is tell John or Cam that you're a little bit worried about Rachel. That will put you in a position of looking kind of insecure, or, you know. And I think that if anything, you know, speak gently with Rachel, but it will, you'll be a trusted person to people that you value if, you know, you sort of be a pillar, I guess.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
All right, Chris. I love
I'm sorry,
you.
Krista,
and
this is tough.
Yeah. Well,
that's okay. Rachel. Thank you.
Oh, man. Gotta find out her tricks.
Thank you so much, Krista.
Thank you.
Bye. I love you.
Bye.
No, I love you. I don't know if we gave her.
I think you did. How much more can you do?
Yeah.
Because look, it's not, you know, she didn't even say they were in a relationship. So dating, I've dated a few people. And as long as you're open and honest and you're like, yo, I'm still seeing so-and-so. It's like, what? It is what it is.
It's hard when you care about your friends and you want to not see them get hurt, but when it seems like it's inevitable.
Always like, did you know about this down the road? It's always going to come out.
I know.
You knew about it, and then I don't know. You've seen how the story, I mean, everyone's
been apart. But they're not cheating yet because she's not exclusive. She's like, they don't even know what they are.
Technically, so you're absolutely right.
You know, so at this point, I don't think that there's too much for her to do.
Yeah.
Should I just be like the hard knock?
Yes.
Bring me in, and I'm like, listen, talk to Rachel. Tell Rachel this is what's up. If someone's, you know, it's like,
where's Shay when we need her? Shay, get out of your production office.
It was a 5-minute walk, so just give me like 7 and I'll be here, okay?
Hey, thank you so much for being here. You're amazing, and I so appreciate it.
Oh, we should plug her awesome YouTube. I saw your India special. It was great.
That was so beautifully done.
Yeah. I thought about, like, because I don't really watch YouTube channels, and I always think that, you know, they're a bunch of YouTube stars just with a, you know, with an iPhone camera. And
in their bedroom,
But this is like a full-on, looked like a National Geographic special. It was beautifully shot. Your outfits were amazing. You rode a camel in heels.
Yes, I did. I mean, look, I think YouTube, like we were talking about before, there's so many different versions of content that you can put out there now, you know, and I'm not doing it from girl in the bedroom, one camera, and I think that's awesome, and those girls are killing it. My approach to it is different because I started YouTube at an older age, so I'm wanting to shoot it like this, and I go with a team, and this is the stuff that I'm trying to put out there, but it's fun. I absolutely love it, so thank you for watching.
It's great.
And hopefully I continue to do more shakeations. You want to come?
Yes.
You want to come on a shakeation?
Yes. I didn't know that this invitation was coming. I was about to ask you how many people you loved with penis tattoos. Yes, I do. Where are we going to go?
We'd go to spring break. You, me, and Rachel.
Fuck yeah.
Let's do it. You
Wait,
know?
We're bringing Rachel?
Yes, we are.
No, apparently. I don't know. We've got to go with Krista.
Krista. The whole gang.
The whole gang.
I was a king of spring break. I want to go.
You were?
What does that mean? You won every white t-shirt contest? Like, what is that exactly? The King of Spring Break? I just feel like, yes, and you're a fraud.
I don't even know what that means, but yes. Okay. I did enjoy Cabo. I do it to Cabo every year.
Cabo Wabo?
Yeah.
Did you do some of that?
I did the Cabo Wabo, did the El Squidro. You've been there. I did the table thing, absolutely.
Did you get tequila poured in your mouth by the whistle-blowing waiter?
Can we go to Cabo together? It'd be so much fun.
Yes, it would be. Sim, you know I go to sleep at like 8 p.m. I know. But... you know, I'm great in the daytime.
Yeah, there you go. Those parties are still going on till 7. So that's the ones that we can catch, you know? It's like.
Truly, Cabo was your favorite?
Yeah.
Did you guys like go? What did you guys do during the day?
We went to the office. And the joke was we're going to get some work done, quote unquote work done.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, it was great. We always got a chuckle.
Yeah.
By whom?
By
your ding dong.
My douchey fraternity brothers, yes, exactly.
So there we go, Shakeation Cabo. Shakeation Cabo Wabo, here we come.
Thank you, dear listeners.
Good night,
love you.
Everyone.